Okay, good morning, ladies. Welcome back to Shmir Salashim class learning as we prepare to usher out Adar and usher in Nisan, the season of Geula. So we will begin with the Tfilah Al Hadibra, please, which is in the inside front flap. Banasha Olam, Yiratza Mefanech Al Racham Vechanan Shetizakini Haim Vecholyam, Mishmar Pi Ulashani Milashin Har Rechilis. As a hermile daber fila alish yachid, recall shaken our kaiso, O achelek mehem, recall shaken with Israel amidos of shall call sparhu. As a hermile daber divre shaker hanufa mechlokes ka askaiva, hunas varim, halbanas panim, aitsanus, vichal diber aser, vizakin shil of the daber kim daber hatsarich, in yani goofy vinafshi, viu kama saiva diberal shame shamayim, amen, liluinish must figures and benuel vachana lava sham is nishamashav and aliyah in the merit of our Torah. Also, as a continued refuah for Bracha V'Gayel, Bracha V'Gayel V'Sracha Gita, I also wanted to just share this email with you. I've been davening every day for Netanel Ilan Ben Shena Tzipora. Netanel Ilan Ben Shena Tzipora, Netanel Felber, is an IDF soldier who was injured in a December 2018 shooting attack, and he remains in a coma since December 2018, December 13th, I believe, was 19 years old in the Nachal Haredi unit. So I know someone who knows the family, so periodically I get updates. So this was this update, and I thought it was so relevant while still in a coma. Okay, so if anybody, I know sometimes it's harder to add names, Rahman al-San, to your Tehillim list, but Netano Ilan Meshena Tzipora. While still in a coma, Netano has been given the best possible treatment at Tel HaShomer. This is just from before Shabbos. His mother sent a long update of all the different stimuli and responses. There has been some improvement, but our tefillos are very much needed. Interestingly, they're starting a new program dedicated to the recovery of Netano. A group of friends have gone together and dedicated a week next week, i.e. this week, of people trying to be more careful with Lashon Hara. This week, the friends, because Netanel used to study the halachos of Lashon Hara every day. And his friends thought it would be an excellent merit for him if people would become more diligent in their observance of how they watch what they say about others. Mamish, I got this Erev Shabbos. If you could learn, so the request was of the family, if you could learn two halachot each day in either English or Hebrew, it would be an amazing merit towards the recuperation of Netanel. For those who may not have the sefer, you can certainly look online for laws of Lashon Hara. May the learning of Shmirah HaLashon be Yizchot, so Hashem giving Netanel speed recovery. So, in addition to the other dedications, Be'ezras Hashem, as Netanel's friends and family join together on the Shmirah HaLashon Mishrev Dafka this week, let's have in mind that Be'ezras Hashem, this learning too, should be a Yizchot for his complete Yeshua and Nisim in the month of Nisan. Okay, we are on page 134. Okay, Leitzanos. Okay, so we're going through different categories. As we have reiterated many times in our learning, the guidelines of Shmiras HaLashon are not narrowly limited to Lashon Hara in the sense of you're speaking bad about somebody else. So certainly our learning here has broadened our horizon so much to understand that there are so many parts of forbidden speech. Interestingly, and I didn't prepare in the parasha, but it is, of course, Parashas Tazria. Next week is Metzora, and here we meet the person who suffers the biblical consequences of Lashon Hara in ancient times, in the time of the Beis Hamikdash. So you had a very real reminder of the fact that you used your mouth inappropriately. Badad yeshev michutz mechana mashava v'tamei tamei yikra. The same mouth that was used to bring shame upon other people is now used to bring shame upon himself. He grows his mustache, i.e. shows that he's covering his mouth. He has to sit in isolation outside of all three camps. He's not even allowed to be with the other people who are tamei for any other reason. He is complete isolation. He says, Rashi, ho, elvahu hivdil bein adam, chaveru vein ish lishto, since he made a division with his words between people, af hu yibada, the consequences, mida kenega mida, and this is relevant, obviously, these alachos and these lessons to this week's parasha. Leitzanus. So Leitzanus is mockery. And see, the Chavetz Chaim has very strong things to say about mockery. Kamo dichtiv, like the pasuk says in Yeshayahu, va'ata al tis lozuzu, and you should not be amongst the scoffers. V'yosodom ima dichtiv, the yosod, or the root, the foundation of this, I'm on page 135, nekuda hei, okay? And the root, or the foundation, the base of this is from Devarim. And the pasuk says, v'dibartam bam, pasuk that we all know, v'amru chazal, the Gemara says, v'dibartam bam, v'lo b'dvarim b'telem, you should speak about these words, i.e. specifically words of Torah, and not in Devarim b'telem. In fact, in Parshas Kedoshim, in Perek Yates, which we will name, but Be'ezras Hashem, after Pesach, Tazril Mitzor, the last two parshas before Pesach, Achrim Moson and then Kadoshim come after Pesach. On parshas Kadoshim, famous, very famous pasuk, Kadoshim Tiyu, Ki Kadoshim Yashem Elkecham, Hashem spoke to Moshe saying, speak to B'nai Yisrael, you shall be holy, because I, Hashem, am God, you're holy. And there the Ramban coins the term, Al Tinavel B'shus HaTorah, you should not be a degenerate within the parameters or what is allowed in Torah. And the Ramban gives different examples of what is permitted and the Ramban of what is forbidden. What does it mean, Al Tinavel B'shus HaTorah? So Ramban says you're allowed to eat meat, but how much meat? You shouldn't be a glutton. The meat might be kosher, but last week's parashas, Malchus Asuras Amataras, however, just because it's kosher, how much? Wine, says the Ramban. How much wine? Interestingly, one of the examples that the Ramban gives there, it's to Vayikra 19.2, Perikya Test Pasuk Beis. So one of the examples the Ramban gives is Losach Rabbi Chia Sicha Betela La'olam. Rabbi Chia never spoke Sicha Betela. How would you translate that? Pointless words, idle chatter. He never spoke idle chatter in his life. So even in your words, we can't be a novel b'shus atar. We should not be chatterbox chattering all the time unnecessarily. Shalom is bas dibris. Shalom alechen, shalom alechen. And look what happened to her son. She ended up in very big trouble. Interestingly, I just read an excellent article in Mishpacha this week. I don't know if anybody saw, by Eitan Kobri. Did anyone see it about cell phone usage? Oh, if you could get it, go back and get it. It was very, very good. One of the things he says is he never initiates a message. He will reply if necessary, but does not initiate. Now, for many of us, that's not possible. But sometimes you have to think, do I really need to send this message? In other words, that is under the umbrella of Kadoshim Tiyu, Ki Kadoshim. Is this necessary to be said? Even if it's not Lashon Hara in the narrow frame, is this something that I need to even need to be saying? I have X amount of words and X amount of Kolach HaDibur. The power speech, do I need to say this? It's a question. Lo b'dvarim b'teilim. V'leitzanis v'holelus b'vadai lo nafka mikol zeh. And certainly when it comes to leitzanis, which is mockery, and holelus, which is frivolous speech, b'vadai, certainly lo yetzim, lo yotzei, lo nafka zermeik, it means in Hebrew, lo yotzei mikol zeh. In other words, those are not excluded from the category of excessive or pointless or unnecessary speech. Ubeinyan leitzanus kala chazal v'am. In the matter of leitzanus, Chazal said, kol leitzanusa asira, all of leitzanus is asar, bar mi leitzanusa de avodah zara, except for dishiraya. Oh, it tells you in Hebrew. Like Aramaic, you see, kol leitzanusa, there's an aleph at the end. Kol leitzanus asira, take off the aleph, what does it say? Asar. It's not so hard to understand what that means. Except for mi leitzanusa de avodah zara. So if you see that it just ends with an aleph, you can really translate it on our own. It's also to be late. You know, it's something that's relevant in our society and it's prevalent in our society, making fun of other people and thinking that it's just in jest. Mocking people at whose expense? Who finds the joke amusing? The person who's embarrassed, we spoke about here about Halbanas Panim and the definition of Halbanas Panim, Rabbi Daniel Feldman, we quoted. So if you're making fun of something that's mamash asr, someone who, you know, an Indian that's a kofar b'ikar, such as avodah zarah, that's different. But stam leitzanus, v'kol shekein ha'kriya, oh, I found this very interesting. V'kol shekein ha'kriya b'sifrei pilaster, which is translated as any books that contain falsehood. Bivadai, certainly, mekalkalas umetama diburo v'gam nafsho. If you read unnecessary publications, interesting, look at the next words. V'hu b'kal kore b'sfarim hachitzonim. This is considered one who reads, how would you translate sfarim hachitzonim? Hello, ladies.
Sure.
What?
English.
Secular, maybe, like, not Jewish. It means, literally, sfarim hachitzonim is outside writing. So first of all, when you say b'sifrei plaster, b'vadai mekalkalas umetama diburo v'gam nafsho, so in those days it was books. But today it's not only books. It's articles, it's websites, it's journals, it's WhatsApps that you might get, right? The Chavetz Chaim in his day didn't have these other forms of publication that we have today. So then it was newspapers or then it was books. Today there are so many other ways to apply this. And therefore, when you're finding an article online and when you're reading something, you really need to think to yourself, is there a purpose in me reading this? Does it fall under Sicha Betela? Is there a reason? And it's also relevant, by the way, when you're forwarding things. Not only when you're reading, but when you forward, in terms of not initiating an unnecessary text. You can, if these publications, articles, websites, journals, flyers, WhatsApp that people send contain senseless dvarim havalim, and he even goes as far to say that it is b'klal hakori b'sfarim hachitzonim, which I found very powerful, outside books. Shehichmiru hachachamim me'ol b'davar. Look at this. We're not giving any piskei halacha here, by the way. I always say in my classes, there is no piskei halacha. If you have a shayla, you have to ask a rab. But that is a very strong hashkafic statement. Sfarim hachitzonim shehichmiru hachachamim me'ol b'davar. The chachamim were very stringent on this matter in terms of reading outside literature. Because I was very strict about this. So, something, food for thought to consider, not only what we watch, Mir Seinayim, do we have to be careful about what we watch, but we have to also be very careful about what we internalize in terms of reading. Is it totally usher, or do we rationalize and say that it's okay? Not even, maybe it's not unsneas, but just maybe, is it mocking? Is it negative about other groups of Jews? And that is Leitzanus. And then when we go and we forward it, there was something else very good in Mishpacha. It was a very good Mishpacha this week. There was so much to read. It was excellent. They have an interview sometimes 9 to 5. Mo Murnik has this interview with different people in the tech world. So this week it was a woman. I don't remember her name. I'm sorry. But one of the things she says is he often asks the people that he interviews. He interviews from people in the business world about how they become successful, their role models, their values. And one of the things he sometimes asks is, how do you avoid situations where you find a stira,
conflict.
A contradiction, a conflict, thank you, between Torah values and business? So one of the things that she said was very good. She said she thinks to herself, this was excellent, if I do this, how would I feel if tomorrow would be on the front page of all the newspapers and said on WhatsApp? How would I feel if this choice went around the world tomorrow? And she said, that helps me to stay balanced. So we have to think to ourselves, how would I feel if everybody knows Michal Horowitz forwarded this email, this article, this came from her. Michal Horowitz said this. How would we feel? And she said it helps her stay balanced. When we talk about Leitzanus, it's very important, I think, to go to the first kapitel of Tehillim. Because Tehillim opens with this sage advice, Ashrei ha'ish asher lo halach ba'atzas v'shayim. Fortunate is he who does not walk in the advice of the wicked. U'bederech chata'im lo amad. He does not stand on the path of the sinners. What's the end of the pasuk? It's the first pasuk of Tehillim. V'moshav leitzim lo yashav. He does not sit in the moshav leitzim, the scornful sit, says Rav Shem Shem Fal Hirsch, the Moshav Leitzim, the place where the Leitzim gather. So look at this. A Leitz is put into the category of who? Who are the three categories that we should stay away from, says David Melech? You want to know what you should do? Asher Yish. Let's say you never make it past Tehillim 1-1. Let's say Chas Shem, you never make it past Tehillim 1-1. So David Melech says, listen, there are some people who don't have Zitzvah, there are some people who can't pay attention. I got to get all my advice into one pasuk, in case they open up till mom and they never get past it. I'm not recommending that. But let's say, Ashri Yusha, I'm going to tell you what it means to be a fortunate man. You should not go in the advice of the wicked. You should not go on the path of the sinners, stand with them, and you should not sit with the leitzim. Look who the leitzim are categorized with. The chata'im and the rishaim. And Rashi says on this pasuk in Tehillim, Rashi says, if you come to walk, halach, if you walk with the Rishayim, you will come to stand with the Chata'im. It's a progression, Rashi actually says in this pasuk, and eventually you will come to sit with the Leitzim. So I just want to quote a little bit from Rav Shem Shem Fal Hirsch, and it's very powerful. He has very powerful teaching on this pasuk, and Tehillim specifically regarding the Leitzim. Okay, the word Leitz, interestingly, we have this in Tanakh, we have it in Bereishis. Does anybody know what I'm referring to? They did not know the interpreter was between them towards the end of Bereishis. Who are we talking about? Beautiful. Very, very nice. Yosef and the brothers. The brothers don't know that Yosef speaks Lashon HaKodesh. He thinks that there's an interpreter, so they don't realize that, wow, Yosef really understands their speech. So late, derived from Lotz, from which we derive Melitz, the interpreter, Melitz, the spokesman. In its noble sense, so when it's used positively, the word denotes the art of translation from one language to another, i.e., what does it mean? Interpretation. When applied to judgment, it indicates proper representation of the facts. So that's in the positive sense. In its less noble meaning, so the flip side of the coin would be, the word denotes that pernicious and despicable act of distorting speech. So interpreting speech in a not positive way. So almeidetz, an interpreter interprets or translates from one language to another language. Here, what does the leitz do? He interprets in a despicable fashion, in a false, though superficially attractive manner. So that's very important. He quotes his words in a manner that we think is attractive, appealing, wise, intelligent. The leitz represents the base and mean as being lofty and of high moral value. The mocker represents the base and the mean, M-E-A-N, cruel, as being lofty and of high moral value. The leitz mocks and ridicules as idle folly all that is spiritually and morally exalted. He mocks mitzvos, he mocks Torah, what you once said in this class. Oh, you think you're so religious, you're not speaking Lashon Hara. Oh, you think you're so from, you're doing it that way. Oh, wow, you mach merach al Yisrael, this is fine. I'm just giving some examples of what the leitz may do. I'm not saying what's right and what's wrong. I'm not saying we should be chal v'star, merachal v'yisrael. That's not what I'm saying. The leitz represents the base and the mean, the cruel, as being the highest and loftiest of all moral values. He mocks and he ridicules all that is spiritually and morally exhausted. This is the deplorable art of spurious dialectics and wicked irony. And in fact, he is grouped with the Rasha and with the Chote, jointly with the Rasha'im and the Chata'im, the Leitzim, are the foes of Torah. You think it's not so bad to have the Mida of Leitz on us? What's the big deal if I use my mouth to make a little bit of fun of other people? And it falls into the category also of sarcasm, by the way. Some people have a very sarcastic nature, a very sarcastic tendency and way of speaking. And you have to ask yourself where this falls in the spectrum of Leitz on us. Jointly with Rishayim and Chataim, the Leitzim are, quote, the foes, the enemies, the oivim of Torah. Just as the Rasha'im and the Chata'im transgress the law in practice. Now the Rasha and the Chote, what's about them? They openly transgress the law. You know, they're Mechal Shabbos. They don't put on Torah. They don't, never mind Chalav Stam. They're eating Basar B'chalav. That's a Rasha and a Chote. They transgress the law in practice. But in a way, I'm not saying it's better to be that person, but in a way, they're open about their actions. Echa b'pav, echa b'lev. The Leitz, in a way, is even worse. Because why? Listen to our Rav Shamsham for her said. Shem Shem Valer says, it's so powerful. The Leitzim, out of habit, or from sheer cowardice, still practice all the precepts of Torah. Yet while they practice the precepts of Torah, they ridicule this way of life. So they pretend on the outside to be an observant from whatever you want to call it, Shomer Torah mitzvos. Yet while they still practice, whether it's out of habit, Rachman al-Litzan, what you could call social Judaism, people just do it because they've been doing it without thinking about what we're doing or who we're serving or why we're working for this. Or out of sheer cowardice, what will people say about me if I stop practicing Torah? What will happen to my job, my reputation, my children, my shidduch prospects? They still practice all the precepts of Torah, yet they ridicule this way of life. It's so hard to be a Jew. Why am I doing this to make fun? How machmer do we have to be? We used to have Czech vegetables in Europe. Who needs all of this? It's such a chumrah. Could you imagine how expensive Czech broccoli is? So they mock this way of life. Their prattle serves to undermine. And what's so dangerous about them? What's so dangerous? The Rasha and the Chote, you know to stay away. Why? He's a Rasha, he's a Chote. Of course I'm not going to associate with him. I'm not going out to eat pork. It's in last week's parasha. Shmini, I can't eat chazir. It's chazir treif. We coined a term that's chazir treif represents the Rasha. The Rasha and the Chote, I have no problem with. No, that's not what I mean. We should daven for their teshuvah. They should be zochah to make a kiddush Hashem. But I know to stay away. What's so dangerous about a late? Hourly, he appears like what? Everybody else. However, their prattle, their leitzanus, serves to undermine in the hearts of their fellow men the respect for all that which is sacred and holy. So you hear enough times, I don't know, a certain mitzvah is shtush, that a certain mitzvah chas shalom doesn't bring us closer to the Ribono shel Olam, that a certain chumrah is unnecessary, that a certain halacha is ridiculous. You hear it enough times, even as strong as you are. Oh, so it makes an impression. And somewhere in the back of your mind, you start to wonder, is there really any point to this? Who brings that into... But the Rasha and the Chote you stay away from. The word Losh and Lashon are related phonetically and conceptually to Lotz and Latzon. Interestingly, of Shamsher Fall Hirsch. So what is the power of the Leitz, the one who is a Leitz, Leitzanus? So how does he peddle his wares? through the Lashon. The word Losh and Lashon are related phonetically and conceptually to Lotz and Latzon. The tongue shapes and forms Losh, the food taken into the mouth, and shapes and forms the voice into articulated speech. The Lotz is the artificial use of speech. No more. No, everyone understand?
Yes.
Clear what I'm saying? Very powerful. Very powerful. No person, least of all one faithful to his duty, can avoid having contact with theoretical enemies and scorners of Torah. What did he just say? It's impossible not to encounter in our everyday lives and in the course of business activity people in this category. No person can avoid having contact with theoretical enemies and scorners of the moral law, whether it's in your daily life or in the course of business activity. Unless you stay in your house and you never leave your home. Even today, with your in your home, you're going to have access to phone and internet. So it's pretty much impossible to avoid contact. And Rav Shem Shalom Forosh writes this in the 1800s. Even then, he says, it's impossible to avoid contact with these people. You're going to meet Chataim, you're going to meet Rishab, you're going to meet... People are full of Eitzana, so what should he do? The duties of life, he says, can only be fulfilled in communion with others. We have a whole category, a whole half of the Torah, Bein Adam Chaveiro. No one can choose for himself the environment in which he will move. Often the environment is arbitrarily given to us, so we don't even have so much of a choice of the people that we meet. It is this very interaction with people, varying mental attitudes, that we must be duty conscious. We must be God-oriented through a zeal that cannot be diverted or confused. Very powerful. Rav Shem Shem was just saying, you can't pick the people you're going to meet. Sometimes you can. Most often in life, you can't pick the people in business. You can't pick the people in the supermarket. You can't pick the people in the street. You can't often pick the person who's going to sit next to you and show you can't. So what do? It is then that the duty-conscious person must prove his God-oriented principles through a zeal that cannot be diverted or confused. After all, it is not in the hours of business and daily work, but during the leisure hours. Listen to this. What happens during leisure hours? Those hours are devoted to this. Now Shabbos is long. You go for a walk with a friend. A few people meet on the lawn. You have time to schmooze after shul. It is during our leisure hours. In fact, Rav Palm, Zecher Tzaddik Livracha, would call the hour right after Shul and Rosh Hashanah the most dangerous hour of the year. It's brought down in the biography, the art school biography of Rapam Zatzal. Why? Because he would say, how was the Baal Tokeya? How was the Baal Tefillah? What did he think of the rabbi's speech? People are mingling outside. And what happens? You just left Shul. You just daven to appoint the Ribono Shel Olam HaMelech, Coronation Day. And now you come out and what are you doing? Talking about how you thought shofar blowing was and how you thought tefillah was and how boring the rabbi's sermon was during the leisure hours, which are devoted to discussion and conversation, that the late unfolds his art. It is confusing to logic and detrimental to morals. Rav Shem Shem Volosh Mefarshim and his interpretations are just brilliant. It is not practiced while walking or standing, like the Rosh or the Chote. That's why it specifically says, Uvamosh of Leitzim Lo Yasha. When does the late say, have a seat? You're finished work, you're finished davening, you have an hour off from cooking, come sit down, put up your feet. It is not practiced while walking or standing. But while sitting, anyone can avoid the moshav of the leitzim. You have to decide for yourself how to use your leisure time. It's very powerful. What I spend my leisure time doing? Spending all my time on this device. What am I really checking on here? Reading articles on mock other people, having idle conversation during our leisure time when we belong to ourselves. We have to choose to share a seat with those who share our views. Mamosha Leitzim Lo Yashav. Very powerful. Yes.
Because I find that texting could be positive because I find if I need something or want something, I just want to get one point across.
One second. It could for sure be positive.
How are you doing? When you make that phone call, like I said, what do you do with leisure time? You know, rather pick up the Tehillim. There's so many WhatsApps of Tehillim. Say Tehillim for Kali, so all they have now.
No. So I did not mean to be misunderstood. One second. Obviously, it can be very beneficial and very positive, and we spend much of our life communicating on these devices. And for me personally, it's excellent. Besides the fact that I have a hearing loss, I don't have the time or the patience for phone calls. I cannot understand why people call me sometimes. Sorry. If anyone ever called me, please be meichel me. First of all, it gives me aggravation because I have a hearing loss. So then I'm worried I'm not going to hear. But also, with text and WhatsApp, I enjoy that we could just get to the point. There are many positives.
Yes. So
there can also be many downsides.
Right, but it used to be picking up a phone to a friend to touch base, and I'm finding it, and my industry, I think it's very hard, because my friends that I used to speak to, they don't. I will say to Hillamore, I will, because I'm afraid, it sounds ridiculous, and once you start talking,
for sure.
You're saying you definitely have the third sentence.
100%. Okay, so that's a positive side. You're right. Because Rav Shamsher Fall Hirsch, points out that when you're sitting, it's true what you're saying, you have more leisure time, you can go off topic, it can become very dangerous. It's like any koch in the world. It can be used for arba kosos. I just mentioned how much wine, alti navel b'shul satar. The Ramban uses wine as an example of what you should not be excessive in. So, arba kosos, it's a mitzvah d'oraisa. I was just reading yesterday about the mitzvahs of Seder. It's not a mitzvah d'oraisa. It might be, I don't know, I shouldn't have said that. I'm not sure. It's based on the arba l'shonos ge'ula in the beginning of Perek Vav of Shmos, impressions of Eira, right in the beginning. I'm not sure if it's a d'oraisa or d'orabanan. But my point was not the source of the mitzvah. We're all going to drink arba koso. So wine can be used for something very beneficial. And wine can be used for Kiddush Friday night is a d'oraisa based on the source of dibros. So can be used for something positive. And wine can also be used, Rechman al-Latzan, for something very dangerous and very negative. It's how we channel and choose to use that koach. Let's go to Onas Dvarim. I want to try and get through at least two nekudos here. Onas Dvarim, page 136. Onas Dvarim. So this obviously falls very closely into the category of Leitzanus, because very often Leitzanus taken to an extreme turns into Onas Tvarim. You might think it's funny, and yet it's verbal abuse of somebody else. It's not funny to make a joke at someone else's expense. Onas Tvarim, Kemo Dichtiv, Velo Tonu, Isha Samiso. So it's a pasha, a befeirish de Raisa. One man cannot verbally oppress his friend. V'hainu shalo yachnid es chaveru. It's very interesting. You know what that means? You should not annoy your friend. Very interesting. I also found this one interesting. You have to be very careful, particularly in regards to your wife. So here what the Chavetz Chaim is saying is that sometimes we're so careful with the people outside of our home, but we're not so careful with the people inside our home. So you shouldn't think that it's okay to be nice to everybody else. Now, obviously, we're not men learning this, so it's not li'ishto, but let's take it to somebody's husband or to the other people in your dalet amos. You think it's okay to be kind and compassionate and of pleasant speech outside the home. Thank you to the cashier. Make a Kiddush Hashem. Don't talk excessively. And then inside the home, sometimes a person behaves differently, and that is dangerous. Don't think that it's only with the people outside of your home. It is also with the spouse, and it is also with the children. It's also the people you live with. The Gemara says in Bava Metzia, oh, I'm going to tell you what the Gemara says. Okay? The kol shekein la misha reshes. Look at this. You know what he says? You know what that is? What's a misha res? Does that look like English?
Okay.
What? So what do you think this means? Your help. The help in the house. Someone who provides you a service. How do you speak to that person? Ubeprat imhi almana o yusoma. And certainly we have an extra mitzvah. The pasuk says in mishpatim v'chal yasim v'almana lo sa'anud. So Rashi does say, by the way, there v'hu hadin l'chol adam. You cannot oppress anybody, says Rashi. But specifically in the pshat of the pesukim, you have an extra mitzvah not to oppress a widow or an orphan. So you have to be very careful not to verbally abuse people. Shahu avim pelili me'od. This is a very grave sin. So I am going to tell you what the Gemara says in Bava Metzia, because the Chavetz Chaim says you should look at Bava Metzia. Oh, wait, where am I? I prepared it yesterday. I put my book back in the wrong place. One second, please. Oh, here we go. It was in the right place. Okay. Amar Rav, Le'olam Yehe Adam Zahir Be'onas Ishto. A man should always be careful, he should be on guard not to verbally oppress his wife. Why? Why? Well, you're not going to have Shabbos, but what do you think the Gemara specifically says? What will happen then? I'll just tell you. You don't have time. Shemitoch shedim asa mitsuya, her tears come easily found. Dim asa mitsuya, her tears are easily found, i.e., she cries easily. Onasa kirova, the punishment for wronging her is nearby. I.e., if you wrong her, because a woman is more sensitive than a man, okay? Today we know, I mean, don't ask the feminists, but a woman has different emotions and different triggers than a man. A man, in general, are tougher and harder. So if you oppress your wife and her tears come easily, you should know that the pa'onasa, kirova, punishment for wronging her is close. Now you're going to know this, so I'll tell you the truth. I never knew what immediately preceded this famous Ma'amar Chazal. That's the only gate that's not locked since the time Beis Hamikdash was destroyed.
Tears.
That's the teaching that immediately follows what I just read from the Gemara. First, the Gemara says a man should always be very careful not to verbally oppress his wife because her tears are easily found. So the punishment for verbally oppressing her is close. And then the Gemara immediately says, right after, you could all look it up in Maseches Bava Metzia. He tells you where we are. Nun tes. Amar Rabbi Elazar, miyam shenecho beis hamikdash nin alu shari tfila. Shenemar, quoting a pasuk from Eicha, Gam ki ezek v'ashaveh sasam tefila. See, you all know this. From the time the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, the gates of tefila were closed. As a pasuk says, even when I call out and I scream out, my prayers have been blocked. V'afal pisha sharei tefila nin alu sharei dima'os lo nin alu. You all knew that. I also knew that. Everybody knows that from the time of the Beis HaMikdash, the gates of tefila, Rachman al Tzan, is locked, but the gates of tears are not locked. What immediately precedes that is interaction between spouses. Specifically, a husband should not verbally oppress his wife. Her tears come easily. Isn't that unbelievable? Shari dim amos dimalos lo nin alu shenemar shimat filasi Hashem v'shavasi hazina al dim asi al techos. You also know that pasuk, like I believe it's from Tehillim, if I'm not mistaken. Yes, of course. I say the pasuk every day. Lamed tes. I say this kapitel every day. Shimat filasi Hashem v'shavasi hazina. Listen to my prayers, God. Hearken, pay attention to my outcry, aldim asi, to my tears, do not be deaf. So the Gemara continues. So I thought that was very interesting. So now we all learn something very important. When the Gemara teaches you that shari dim oslonin alu, it is in direct relation to a husband not oppressing his wife, who will cry easily. So what's the Gemara really telling you? She's going to cry easily, and what could happen, chas v'sham? She's crying out against who? Hello? Her husband, the source of the onas dvarim. And those tefillos are going to be quickly accepted. And who's she really crying against? Her husband. It's a dangerous situation. She's crying against her husband. She doesn't want anything bad to happen to her husband. She doesn't mean anything negative. But in her pain, she cries out. And when she cries out, because she has been verbally oppressed or insulted or mocked or made fun of, her tears come easily. So the Gemara says, so the punishment for harming her comes easily. It's very scary. Amar Rav, kol haholech ba'atzos ishto. Man, the Gemara says, just as a point of interest, whoever... Halach batzas ishto goes by the advice of his wife. Nofel b'gehenim will go down, fall into Gehenim. So what does that mean? Amar le Rav Papa la Abaye. Rav Papa said to Abaye, "Vaha amre inche." But there's a popular saying, "Itisach gutza gichin v'silchoshak." If your wife is sure, bend over and whisper to her. It's a popular saying, which means listen to your wife's counsel. So the Gemara just presented two teachings. One says, if you listen to your wife, you're going to Gehenim. The other teaching says, if your wife is sure, bend down, listen to her. I take the advice of your wife. So which is it? If you listen to your wife, you're going to Gehenim? Or should you take the advice of your wife? So the Gemara answers, lo kashya, it's not a difficulty. Ha b'melei da'olma. What's the olma? Take off the olma. This is in the way of the world. In worldly affairs, don't listen to your wife's advice. Vaha b'melei devesa. But it's devesa. But it, debias. But in the ways of the house, who should you listen to? As she wants it done, she knows what should be done in the house. So there you shouldn't listen to her. Here you should listen to her. Very interesting. Amar Rav Chista, tell me if you ever heard this. I'm on the same Amud of Gemara. So we already said, kol sha'arim na'alim chutz misharei dima. Well, the Gemara says something else, which relates to what we're speaking about. Kol sha'arim na'alim chutz misharei ona'a. All the gates are locked except for the... What we're learning about the Nekudav Onas Tvarim. I'm going to repeat it. Kol ha-sha'arim nin'alim chutz me'sharei ona'a. All the gates are locked except for the gate of causing... Hello? We're learning about Onas Tvarim. Oppression to somebody else. So if you cause oppression to somebody else, that gate is not locked. It's very frightening. Especially, says the Chavetz Chaim, with people of your home. And you know, that means also... Okay, we're not learning about Ishto because we don't have an Ishto. But what about how we speak to our children? In a moment of impatience, in a moment of frustration, a moment of why did you do that? Now, yes, a parent has to be mechanic, but so often you hear parents saying to your children, especially young children, by the playground, you hear karate, what's wrong with you? Why did you do that? Something that bothers me tremendously. You should never say, I'm sorry. You don't say to someone, what's wrong? The behavior is not appropriate. We don't purposely turn over our juice box and dump it all over the floor. Yes, there are things you have to say to the child, but what's wrong with you is pashto nas dvarim. There's nothing wrong with this person. There's nothing wrong with this child, especially if they're over bar bar mitzvah. And the child cries out, and now we could chas v'sham be in big trouble. Did anyone ever hear this before? You knew this? You knew kol sha'arim nanalim chutz mishar ona?
I know the concept.
No, no, I'm asking if you knew this Ma'amar Chazal. My Ma'amar Chazal, it's very famous, Kol Sharim Na'alim Chutz Mishari Dima. I don't know if amongst lay people, certainly women who don't spend time learning Gemara, I never heard this. It's very frightening. It means when I cause onas dvarim, kemo dichti v'lo sonu isha samiso, v'hainu shlo yaknis chaver v'yizar b'za afil li'ishto. So I could be in very big trouble. Amar Rabbi Elazar, Hakol Nifra B'Yidei Shaliach. All sins are punished through an intermediary, Chutz Me'ona'a. God sends an intermediary or an emissary to carry out punishment, Chas V'Sham, for all sins, except for the sin of Ona'a. Who carries that out? God Himself. Amar Rabbi Abahu, Shlosha Eino Hapargdor Ninal Bifneim. There are three offenses the curtain does not close. For there are three offenses which there is no curtain between them and Hashem. In other words, the offense goes straight up to Shemayim. So one is Gezel. The best Rosh is that it's stealing people, says Rosh. But according to Pshat, Lo Tignov. Avodah Zarah. You know what the third one is? Ona'a. There are three sins for which there's no division between you and Hashem, i.e. the sin goes straight to Hashem. You know what those three sins are? Gezel, Avodah Zarah. You would think being Mechal Shabbos. You would think eating on Yom Kippur. You would think eating bread, chametz, on Pesach. Would you put Ona'a in the same category of Gezel and Avodah Zarah? One second, please. Just to finish, Amar Rabbi Chalbo, I skipped a little because we can't do the whole thing. Amar Rabbi, even though I prepared more, but we're skipping. Amar Rabbi Chalbo, La'olam ye adam zahir bikvod ishto. A person should always be zahir, on guard, careful about the kavod of his wife. She'ein bracha mitzuya betoch beiso she'adam ela bishvil ishto. Because a bracha does not come to a person's home only on the account of his wife. She'ne'emar ula avram heitiv ba'avura. Okay. And like the saying goes, Okiro Linishaihu Bihechi Disis Atu. Honor your wives in order that you should become wealthy. So a person should always be very careful about his wife's honor. So this is a passage of Gemara that began with, why did I bring this to you? Does everyone know where we're up to? Because the Chavetz Chaim tells us about Onas Tvarim. And the Chavetz Chaim says, Jutsi Bava Metzia. So what are we doing? Seeing Bava Metzia. And we began by saying that a person has to be very careful with Onas Ishto. Her tears flow freely, which means Chas V'Sham, the punishment flows freely. Then the Gemara says, I'm just recapping from the time the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. The gates of Tefillah are locked. The only gate of Tefillah that's open is, the only gate of acceptance, so to speak, that's open is Shari Dira. What's the connection between the first teaching and the second teaching? If you cause Onas for your wife, or let's take a Musar Haskel for ourselves, for somebody else in our home who might be more fragile, who might be more emotional, maybe sometimes the husband is more emotional and the wife is tougher. Certainly with children, if you cause Onah, they call up, and that gate is never locked. The gaze of tears is never locked. Then we said you shouldn't listen to the advice of your wife. Then we said you should listen to the advice of your wife. So which one is it? In matters of the world, don't listen to your wife. In matters of the home, listen to your wife. Furthermore, the Gemara says, Kol sha'arim ninalim chutz meisharei Onah. There's another gate that's never locked, and that is the gate of he who cries out when he is oppressed. Furthermore, all punishment are meted out by a shaliach, except for the punishment to one who caused onah to somebody else. This is like terrifying. Maybe not for you, but we should be very afraid of this. I mean, we don't know how often, chas v'sham, we cause ona'a to somebody else, whether it's public shaming or it's app, whether it's suleit tzanas, where it's making fun of someone in our house, whether it's talking to children inappropriately, whether it's an article before that mocks somebody else, it could come back to haunt them. It's very scary. There are three that the gate is not closed, the partition is not closed between them and Hashem, i.e. their sins go straight through. I'm just recapping what we said. Gezel, in fact, I should tell you something. I said it out of order for impact, but the first category of sin that the Gemara says, There's no division between you and God, is ona'a. The order in the Gemara is ona'a, then gezel, then avodah zarah. Furthermore, a person should always be careful about the kavod of his wife, because bracha only comes to the home because of his wife. As the pasuk says, ul avram heitu ba'avura, honor your wife in order that you may become wealthy. Very, very powerful. Okay. V'kol shekein la misha rashas. So you have to be sure. Don't think someone is beneath you. One second, please. Don't think something is beneath you. Don't think that it is demeaning to talk inappropriately to help or to someone who provides you with a service just because you're the master in that situation and they are the provider in that situation because you have the money and they're working for you. How are you talking to them? How are you asking to them to provide the service for you? Ubeprat imhi almana yosoma shehu aven pelili me'od. If it is someone who is more vulnerable, Rashi says, hu adin nechal adam. If it is someone who is divorced, if it's someone who doesn't have a family, you have to be very careful about how you speak to these people. So this learning is extremely relevant for all of us because I think that perhaps, Rachman Ansa, we don't realize the Leitzanus and the Onah. Remember what we learned in Rosh Hashem Shemfolish. Very powerful. Instead of going to the halacha there in that sefer, I'm actually going to quote a very interesting application of a halacha that we might not even think about. Okay, is it brief? Because we're running out of time. It's in the sefer. It's in Bava Metzia Nun Tes. But if you look in the sefer, the Chavetz Chaim Tobi, if you look in the sefer, why did I go to the Gemara at all? Because the Chavetz Chaim says, if you want more information, look in the Gemara. So I went to look inside. So this is an example. I said Mishpacha was really good this week. There was so much to read. So I'm going to tell you something interesting about Halacha Lamaisa that sometimes, okay, I'm just going to let it speak for itself. How's that? A few weeks ago, there was an article, but now I'm not telling a secret. Lato Alice, it was in Mishpacha. It means thousands of people read this week, okay? I don't know if you saw the article a few weeks ago. Mordechai Shapiro was on the cover. Did anyone see? Yes or no? Just, it was a very good article. It spoke about his upbringing, how he became famous. When he only called my Pesach 2016, is when he became famous from. Fine. How he started off. He speaks about how when he was a kid, the rich kids in school used to make fun of him. His father was a bus driver. Talking about Leitzanus and Onastram, they used to make fun of him. His father was a bus driver, and they mocked him for this. This is a letter to the editor. I believe that those who use their voices, words, and lyrics, we're talking about using your voice, to inspire, have an extra achrayus to carefully analyze what they say. Last week's article about Morty Shapiro was a fantastic opportunity to share a positive perspective of how a motivated young man can make it big. But it failed at the outset when the writer chose to include the name of the elementary school that Mordechai Shapiro attended. What was the purpose of including the school's name and Hashkafic affiliation in your article? The message would have been equally powerful without this information. Kids made fun of him because his father was a bus driver and the kids were wealthy. Why do you need to say what school he went to? To those who never heard of this wonderful school, the acronym, it was in the article, so if you read about Mordechai Shapiro, like you know, ASHAR, A-S-H-A-R. For now, those who have never heard previously about this wonderful school, every time they hear this acronym ASHAR, will forever be associated in their minds with rich, bratty kids. And those who do know of the school may now have a negative association. As soon as you hear one Nekuda Lashon Hara, it changes your perspective. My children who attend the school were hurt and saddened by the mention of their yeshiva in the context of negative information. They asked me, doesn't this constitute pure Lashon Hara? They asked me, why is this information l'to'elas? Well, good will come of this. Even worse, that article was only 2 weeks away from our 65th anniversary dinner. Mark, it was in this week's Pasuk's Mishpacha, page 15. Your article was only 2 weeks away from our 65th anniversary dinner, marking several years of tremendous growth in our yeshiva. We are working to raise funds for our newly inaugurated scholarship fund. Some of our students are just like Morty Shapiro, hardworking parents who are committed to providing a service to the public. With little fanfare or recognition, negative PR does not help us or our children. I always enjoy Yisrael Besser's columns and articles. His sensitivity and care towards the feelings of Klal Yisrael is evident. This article seemed to lack the usual style. With hope for articles with less sensationalism and more inspiration, an Ashar parent. Yisrael Besser responds, Reading this letter is a humbling experience. I think it's obvious there are kids who tease others in every school, obviously. And all it takes is one or two to make a little life hard for the victim. I did not mean to draw a line between the situation and the specific school. But the point is nevertheless well taken. Because I'll say that one of the midos needed to acquire Torah is Moda al ha'ames in Pirkei Avos. Means to be thankful for the truth and to admit the truth. So this, his reply is very courageous. And on spot. The point is nevertheless well taken. The goal of providing the relevant back information on a subject should never come at a cost, and I apologize. That said, I have several friends who went to Ashar and not only received a superb education, but they are refined, sensitive, and kind people. Please, if you're reading this, attend the dinner, put in an ad, and show support for this great school. So I think this is a perfect end to our class, specifically about Leitzanus and Unas Dvarim, that sometimes with the best of intentions and wonderful people. So we shouldn't think when we learn about Unas Dvarim and Leitzanus, I'm talking about somebody else. Oh, it has nothing to do with me. Oh, I never fall into that category. That means with the best of intentions, we do not realize that the words we utter, or write, or forward, or text, or print, or initiate, are in fact transgressing a severe, very severe lie. So, Ezra Sashem, Halach Ma'anya, you know what it's called that? Lechem She'onim Alav Dvarim Harbe. It is bread upon which we give many answers. We should be zocha to have the right questions and the right answers, Be'ezus Hashem, we should be zochet to a chodesh of Geula, and our learning should be an extra schos for Netanel Ilam Ben Shein Sipor, specifically this week when his friends are working on